Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we try to cut through the noise, synthesize the complex stuff, and really deliver the key insights to you.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
So today, we're plunging into a debate that's, well, it's been simmering for ages, hasn't it? Sometimes boiling over.
Oh, yeah.
The whole argument about broken totals in Power BI.
That old chestnut, you hear it constantly.
Anyone who spends time in the BI space knows exactly what we mean. It's that moment, right? You look at a table, the numbers look like they should add up, but the grand total is different.
And bang, there it is. The math's broken.
It really is one of the biggest friction points when folks move from maybe more traditional tools into model-driven analytics like Power BI.
Definitely. And you've got, you know, really passionate people involved, like Greg Deckler, who's been campaigning for ages for just a simple fix, like a toggle.
Yeah, just sum the visible rows, make it work like Excel. That's the idea.
But then you have the, let's call them architectural defenders, people like Daniel Otikir, Diego Scaglione, who push back and say, hang on, a simple sum like that, it actually breaks the rules. It violates the whole point of the analytical model.
And that's really our mission today. We're not here to pick a winner in the debate.
No sides.
No sides. We want to nail down the underlying math. We're going to do a deep dive, compare things, and show why, fundamentally, Power BI totals aren't broken.
Exactly. Their behavior is, well, it's predictable. It's consistent if you understand the rules. It all comes down to the data model and the context it sets.
So by the end of this, you, the listener, should really get why Power BI calculates totals the way it does.
And not just Power BI. We'll touch on how tools like Tableau, Excel with its data model, even T-SQL handle this. It's about understanding the different logics. You'll know how to write mergers that actually work the way you intend.
Okay, so let's start with the core misunderstanding. Because it really is a classic case of mismatched expectations, isn't it?
It absolutely is. People compare apples and oranges. They expect Power BI to behave like one tool when it's designed like another.
The common complaint, it doesn't sum up like Excel, right? That comes from mixing up these different ways tools calculate things.
Precisely. There are basically four main styles, and understanding them is like the key to the whole thing.
Okay, lay them out for us.
All right. First up, cell based calculation. This is your classic Excel spreadsheet, you know, SUMA1.A10, or a really basic pivot table working off a simple range.
Right. The tool knows nothing about relationships or anything deeper. It just adds the numbers in the cells you point to.
Exactly. Simple addition of visible stuff. That creates that intuition. What I see should sum up.
Okay. Style one. What's next?
Next is the big one for us. Model-driven calculation. This is Power BI. It's also Excel pivot tables when they're connected to the data model, you know, Power Pivot.
Ah, okay. The game changes here.
Completely.
Yeah.
Because the rule is critical. The total is not just the sum of the visible rows above it.
Wait, Sue.
The measure, the formula you wrote. It gets calculated again, but for the totals context.
So if I have a profit margin measure for a specific region row, it calculates the margin for that region's data.
Huh?
But for the grand total row, it runs the same profit margin formula, but this time against the entire data set it sees at that total level.
Exactly. It reevaluates the formula in a wider context. It doesn't just add up the margin percentages from the rows. That's the core difference.
Wow. Okay. That's a huge mental shift. What's number three?
Third is query-driven calculation. Think SSRS, paginated reports, traditional reporting tools.
Okay.
Here, the report usually runs a specific query up front to get a flat data set. Then the report author has to write expressions, like in the total cells, saying exactly how to aggregate that data, a QM sales, AVG cost, maybe scope to a certain group.
So the author is explicitly controlling the total calculation. If it's wrong, it's because they wrote the wrong sum or average expression.
Pretty much, yeah. The tool makes you be explicit. And finally, number four is kind of a hybrid calculation. Tableau is a good example here. Well, it fetches data with a query, like query driven, but then within the visual itself, you can tweak things like the level of detail, the LOD calculations, so you can adjust the context after the initial query. It blends query results with visual context.
Okay, four styles: cell-based, model-driven, query-driven, hybrid. And Power BI is firmly in the model-driven camp.
Right. And that explains why the totals can look different from a simple sum.
So let's dig into that famous example Greg Deckler used. It really crystallizes the problem people see.
Yeah, the SUMX10 one.
Exactly. The measure is SUMX sample data amount 10. Let's say we have total sales is 600. And that's split between two categories, A and B, each with 300 in sales.
Okay, so you put this in a matrix. Category A shows, well, 300 minus 10, that's 290.
Right.
Category B also shows 300 minus 10, another 290.
And then you look at the grand total.
Yeah.
And you expect...
You expect 290 plus 290, which is 580.
But Power BI shows 590.
And that's the moment. That's where the confusion, the frustration really hits. Why 590?
Explain the 590. Why does the model do that?
It goes back to that model-driven recalculation and, crucially, the math property involved.
Hmm.
It's because subtraction isn't distributive over addition in the same way multiplication is.
Okay, hang on. Distributive property. Let's unpack that with maybe a simpler analogy.
Sure. Think about maybe ordering pizza for a party.
Okay.
Scenario one. Distributive. Let's say there's a 10% delivery fee. You could calculate 10% on the price of the pepperoni pizza, 10% on the veggie, 10% on the drinks, and add all those little fees up.
Right.
Or you could just add up the cost of all the food and drinks, get the total bill, and calculate 10% once on that final number.
And the final bill, including the fee, would be exactly the same either way.
Exactly the same. Multiplication, or applying a percentage, distributes perfectly over addition. Consistent result.
Makes sense. Okay, now subtraction.
Scenario two, non-distributive. Now, imagine you have a coupon. $10 off your total order. That first formula, SUMX, 10, the one Power BI uses for the total by default. That's like applying the $10 coupon once to the final bill. Your total order is $600 worth of pizza. Apply the coupon, you pay $590.
Ah, so that's the Power BI 590. It sums the amount first, gets 600, then subtracts the 10.
Precisely, because the subtraction is outside the aggregation. But the user who expects 580.
What are they thinking mathematically?
They're thinking the $10 off applies differently. It's like they expected $10 off the pizza part of the order, and $10 off the drinks part of the order. They expected the subtraction to happen at the category level.
310 plus 310 equals 580. They assume the subtraction distributed down into the groups.
Exactly. But it doesn't mathematically unless you tell it to.
Hmm.
Now, what about the third possibility? Sometimes people might even expect 540.
Right. Where does 540 come from?
That happens if the subtraction is applied at the absolute lowest level, the row level. Let's refine the example slightly. Say the 600 total sales came from six individual sales transactions, each worth $100.
Okay, six rows, 100 each.
If the business rule was subtract 10 from every single transaction, then you do 110 for the first sale plus 110 for the second and so on six times.
So that's 90 times six.
Yeah.
Which is 540.
Correct. And you'd get that result in Power BI if you wrote the measure differently. If you wrote SUMX, sample data amount 10, see the difference.
The subtraction is inside the SUMX iterator now.
Right. SUMX goes row by row before summing. So it applies the 10 to each $100 row first, gets 90 for each row, and then sums those 90s up to get 540.
This is huge. So 590, 580, 540, they're all correct answers to different questions.
Absolutely. The question is, should the $10 adjustment apply once overall, per category, or per individual transaction?
And the model-driven approach forces you, the developer, to be explicit about which question you're answering.
Exactly. If you want row level, use an iterator like SUMX with the operation inside. If you just write SUM10, the model correctly assumes you mean apply it after summing, at whatever context level it's calculating, which is the total level for the grand total row.
That difference inside versus outside the SUMX, that's critical to X knowledge.
It really is. And it leads straight into the next related confusion point.
Yeah.
Granularity versus grouping.
Yeah, people mix these up all the time.
They do. Let's define them quickly. Granularity is the actual detail level in your source data, like one row per transaction, the physical truth.
Okay.
Grouping is how the visual, like your table or matrix, organizes that data. Grouping by region, by month, by category. It's a presentation layer thing.
And the key rule connecting them.
If an operation like our subtract 10 is meant to happen per item or per transaction,
it has to be applied at that lowest physical granularity before the visual grouping happens.
Spot on. Which brings us to Diego Scaglione's framework, which is super helpful here. He talks about measure behavior, basically warning us not to just sum things blindly. He categorizes measures based on additivity.
Okay, what are the types?
First, the easy ones, additive measures. Think sales amount, quantity, cost. You can slice and dice them by any dimension, time, product, region, and just summing them up always makes sense.
Simple addition works.
Got it. Second type, semi-additive measures. These are trickier. They're additive across some dimensions, but not others.
The classic example is account balance, right? Oh, or inventory.
Exactly. Let's use account balance. On Jan 31st, you have $5,000 in checking, $2,000 in savings, Summing those gives your total liquid assets on that date. That works adding across accounts.
Okay.
But if your checking balance was 5 kers on Jan 31st and 6 kers on Feb 28th, you absolutely cannot add 5K plus 6Ks to get $11. That's meaningless.
Right. You're adding snapshots of the same pool of money at different times. You'd want the latest balance or maybe an average, but definitely not a sum across time.
Precisely. Inventory is the same summing monthly stock levels gives you nonsense. And that leads to the third type, non-additive measures.
These should never be summed.
Never, ever. Think percentages, ratios, averages, distinct counts sometimes. If Region A has a 10% profit margin and Region B has a 20% profit margin,
you don't add them to get a 30% total margin. That's mathematically just wrong.
Completely wrong. You have to go back to the raw numbers, total profit divided by total sales for both regions combined to get the correct overall margin. You must recalculate it at the total level.
So when a tool like Power BI doesn't just sum up those percentages or averages in the total row, it's actually doing the right thing.
It's enforcing mathematical correctness. It's preventing you from making a mistake. It assumes you want the correct calculation for the total context, not just a dumb sum of the rows above. That's the point of analytical rigor.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Now let's widen the lens. Is this just a Power BI thing? Or does this logic hold true elsewhere?
Oh, it's universal in analytical tools. It's not a Power BI quirk at all. Look at Tableau.
How do they handle it?
If you write a simple calculation like SUM amount 10, Tableau applies that subtraction once per partition or scope, which is basically the same idea as Power BI's context. You get 590.
Same result.
Same result. To get the 540, the row level subtraction, you need to use their level of detail expressions, their LOD calcs, to force the 10 to happen at a finer grain before aggregating. Same concept, different syntax.
What about Excel, the supposed gold standard of simple sums?
Well, classic Excel with cell formulas. Yeah, it just sums. But if you use modern Excel with a pivot table connected to the data model Power Pivot, you're using the DAX engine under the hood.
Wow.
And guess what? If you create that SUM10 measure in the Power Pivot model, the pivot table total shows 590.
No way.
Yes, way. So the immediate question is, are Excel's totals broken now too? Of course not. It just means Excel, in its advanced mode, adopted the same robust model-driven logic.
That's a really powerful point. It completely debunks the Power BI's weird argument.
It does. And you see the same logic, even if you go right down to the database level with T-SQL.
How does SQL show it?
It's crystal clear in SQL. If you write select sum amount 10 from sales, the database does the subtraction for every single row first, then sums the results. That gives you 540.
Okay, row level.
But if you write select sum amount 10 from sales, it sums all the amounts first, gets the total sum, and then subtracts 10 once at the very end. That gives you 500.
The database itself forces you to be explicit about the order of operations.
Exactly. The structure demands you define the scope, even in tools like paginated reports, which are more author-controlled.
Query-driven.
Yeah.
Right?
You have to write expressions for totals. If you wanted that 580 result, subtracting 10 per category, you'd need a potentially complex expression like sum fields dot amount, value 10, your category group name. You explicitly tell it the scope, your category group name, over which to perform that calculation. It's never just assumed.
Okay, so when you look at Tableau, Power Pivot in Excel, T-SQL, paginated reports, they all grapple with or explicitly manage this context and calculation scope.
They all do. It's fundamental to analytics.
Which makes that idea of a simple sum visible rows toggle in Power BI seem, well, less like a solution and more like ignoring the underlying math.
That's really the heart of it. The toggle sounds simple. Sounds appealing, especially if you only ever deal with purely additive stuff like basic sales figures.
But it breaks down fast.
It breaks down spectacularly the moment you have anything more complex. How would that simple toggle handle our semi-additive account balance or inventory levels?
Well, it would just add up the balances shown for each month.
Yeah.
Giving you that completely meaningless inflated number.
Exactly. It would ignore the time dimension, ignore the model's rules. It guarantees wrong answers for semi-additive and non-additive measures because it throws context out the window. It's choosing perceived ease over actual correctness.
So it's mathematically dangerous, essentially, if the toggle isn't the answer. But developers do sometimes need totals to behave differently for specific visuals. What's a better way?
The path forward has to be about transparency and control without breaking the model's core logic. Instead of a blunt toggle, think about something more targeted.
Like what?
Well, imagine if within Power BI's visual formatting options for a matrix, there was an optional field called, say, visual calculation for totals.
Okay.
Here, a developer could write a second, potentially simpler, DAX expression that only applies to the grand total row of that specific visual. The main measure stays consistent everywhere else, respecting the model.
I see. So the core logic is preserved, but you get an escape hatch for just the visual total if you absolutely need it, maybe for presentation reasons.
Exactly. It lets the developer explicitly define that 580 or 590 result for that visual when necessary, maybe for a specific report layout, without corrupting the measure's behavior everywhere else, especially for those crucial semi-additive or non-additive cases.
It makes the exception visible and deliberate, rather than hiding it behind a potentially misleading switch.
Precisely. Control and transparency, not a hidden default change.
Okay, let's wrap this up. So for everyone listening, the big takeaway is this whole broken totals thing. It's really not about Power BI being broken.
Not at all. It's about understanding the shift from simple cell-based thinking to the world of model-driven analytics. It's about context, granularity, and yeah, remembering high school math, like the distributive property.
Right. This whole discussion, you know, sparked by Greg's push for usability,
yeah,
sharpened by Daniel's focus on accuracy, and structured by Diego's theories, it really all boils down to using the right math for the right job.
And Power BI's strength, its core feature, is that constant context-aware reevaluation. You just need to know how to work with it.
So maybe the final thought for you to ponder is this. Given that these model-driven tools always recalculate based on context,
yeah,
you, as the report creator, always need to ask, what level does my business logic demand this calculation happen at? Per transaction, per grouping, or just once overall?
Your DAX measure has to reflect that intent. If you don't tell it the right granularity for the calculation, well, don't be surprised when the total doesn't match your intuition.
But find your context, or the tool will define it for you.
Couldn't said it better myself.